One of my life verses. I memorized it early in life, and it says this: if an axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. Now, it says if you got an axe and you're chopping wood, if the blade is dull, obviously it takes a lot more energy to chop the wood. If your axe is sharp, then it doesn't take as much effort. He's simply saying here, work smarter, not harder.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Have you ever felt pressured to make choices that don't align with your values? Well, the truth is, we all have. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Box. This beautifully designed and stylish vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated scripture cards that will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you. You can take a sneak peek just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called, Are You Learning from Those Who Came Before You?
Daniel chapter 5, where we are now, King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the most famous king, Babylonian king, built the great hanging walls of Babylon, he's died. And he reigned for 45 years. And now his grandson, a guy named Belshazzar, is the king. Belshazzar was a terrible leader, an absolute terrible leader. He was a party boy. He was a spoiled royal brat. And all he liked to do was drink and party with his friends. And so sensing weakness, I'm setting up where we're going, the two biggest enemies at that time, the Medes and the Persians, joined together, Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Great, and they came to besiege this great walled city of Babylon. Now, it's a pretty safe city. The Euphrates River runs through it. It's got walls 50 to 80 feet in depth. It's a pretty fortified city. But at this moment that we're going to look at this weekend, these two armies are camped around the city of Babylon, waiting to attack. And Belshazzar, the king, this young kid, he's not worried about it. He's overconfident. And so what does the party boy do when he's under attack? He throws a party. And in this chapter, he invites 1,000 of his friends to the royal palace, and they all get drunk. They all get drunk. They're having a really fun time. And then the king gets a very bad idea. And here's what he says. He says, and he's drunk. He says, hey, you guys, when my grandfather was the emperor of Babylon, and when we sacked Jerusalem and destroyed it and took over Israel, he said that we stole all of the temple utensils, all of the goblets and all that stuff. And it's been in storage here in Babylon now for 45 years. He says, how about this? Let's get out the temple goblets, and we're going to drink in them and toast our pagan gods. Bad idea. Bad idea. This is called being sacrilegious, and it's making fun of somebody else's religion. It's taking something that is created to honor God and instead misusing it to dishonor God, and you turn something sacred into something profane. And let's look at this story, and then we're going to draw some lessons out of it. Okay, here's what it says in the Bible, Daniel chapter 5. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles, and they all got drunk. When Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his predecessor, had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. Now, he thought it'd be fun to drink using these goblets intended to worship God. And so it says, so they did. They used the cups, laughing and making toast to all the pagan gods and idols. Now, suddenly it says, a finger of a human hand appeared in the royal banquet hall and began writing, supernaturally writing, on the plaster walls of the royal palace. And the king, it says, and all the guests watched this hand as it wrote. Now, this is a hand without a body, okay? Anybody remember the thing in the Addams Family? Okay. I don't know if Thing was around then, but you know, he could have. You know, he was detached. It certainly wasn't one of those giant foam fingers that you have at the Angel game. You know, we're number one. But evidently, this is a kind of a Freaky Friday thing. A hand shows up and it starts writing on the wall. By the way, have you ever heard the expression "the handwriting is on the wall"? It's from this story, 2,500 years ago. This idiom that we use now, the handwriting is on the wall, which means that's a warning, bad news is coming. You're about to get fired. The handwriting is on the wall. Anytime you use the handwriting is on the wall, it's from this story in the Bible. And I could give you 400 or 500 other phrases, expressions, and idioms that actually came out of Bible stories. The handwriting on the wall is referring to the fact that Belshazzar is going to be warned. He's going to die that night because he has been sacrilegious and he's disrupted a god and he hasn't been, humble. Now, this is a warning, but this is the origin of it. Now, in verse 6, it says this. When the king saw this hand writing on the wall, it scared him to death. Well, I guess so. That said, his face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his hips gave way. Now, I love this last phrase, his hips gave way. That's just a polite way of saying he soiled his pants.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Please stay with us because there's a lot more of our series, Unshakable, coming right up.
Thanks for joining us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. As Christians, we know that in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, I'd like to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This vegan leather box is filled with full-color, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards, along with graphically designed four-color lined cards for your favorite Bible verses, personal notes, and observations. This resource will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you, when you're looking for answers to difficult questions, or when you just need to be refreshed in the Lord. The Verses of Hope Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your office or living space. It's a great way to start a conversation with people around you about God's Word. Limited quantities are available, so act now. To get your very own Verses of Hope Scripture Box, just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Have you ever heard the expression, the handwriting is on the wall? It's from this story, 2,500 years ago. This idiom that we use now, the handwriting is on the wall, which means that's a warning, bad news is coming. You're about to get fired. The handwriting is on the wall. Anytime you use the handwriting is on the wall, it's from this story in the Bible. And I could give you 400 or 500 other phrases, expressions, and idioms that actually came out of Bible stories. The handwriting on the wall is referring to the fact that Belshazzar is going to be warned. He's going to die that night because he has been sacrilegious and he's disrupted a god and he hasn't been, humble. Now, this is a warning, but this is the origin of it. Now, in verse 6, it says this. When the king saw this hand writing on the wall, it scared him to death. Well, I guess so. I said his face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his hips gave way. Now, 1,000 guests see this handwriting on the wall. Nobody can read it. Nobody understands it. Nobody can interpret it. So they call for this guy, Daniel, who's been serving now, first as a prisoner of war, then as an intern. And now he's an administrator, and he's moved up. And by this point, Daniel, in his life, has developed a reputation for being the smartest guy in the empire. He's the best educated, he's the wisest man in the empire, and Daniel is the go-to guy when you don't know what to do. when you don't understand it, when there's a mystery that needs to be unraveled, you couldn't explain something, you call on Daniel. So they call on Daniel, and he comes to the banquet hall, and Daniel reads the message, and he translates it, and he interprets it. Now, here's what the message was. Daniel 5:25. Now, this is the message of the handwriting on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. Well, nobody understood that because that happens to be Aramaic. It's the only Aramaic phrase in the entire Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. Everything else written in Hebrew. This is the only phrase in the entire Bible in the Old Testament written in Aramaic, which, by the way, was the language that Jesus spoke. Now, he not only reads it, he translates it, and then Daniel interprets it. And he says, okay, king, he said, mene means numbered, and it means your days are numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign, and they're going to end. Your time's up. Your number has been pulled. He said, tekel means weighed in the balance, like in a scale. He says, you've been weighed on the scales of God, and you have not measured up. And then he says, parson means divided. And he says, your kingdom is going to be divided tonight between the kings and the Persians, and you're going to die. And the word parson, to a Hebrew mind or Chaldean mind, it's a play on words. It's parson and Persian sound real similar. Now, this is not exactly good news. You're losing your kingdom, and you're going to die tonight. But Daniel, because he always does the right thing, he gets promoted again. Look at this next verse on the screen. It says, then the king commanded, King Belshazzar commanded that a royal robe be put on Daniel and a gold chain was put around his neck, because he had interpreted this, and the king named Daniel to be the third highest ruler in the kingdom. It's another promotion. Those of you who have been studying this with us for 7 weeks now. Okay, he's the third highest ruler in the kingdom. But that very night, Belshazzar was slain, and Darius the Mede took over his kingdom at the age of 62. Archaeology now tells us how they actually invaded. They didn't try to tear the walls down. What they did is the Euphrates River ran through the city under the walls. They actually diverted the river, and the water went down low enough that they could crawl under the wall. And they came in, and this is a historical fact, that the Medes and the Persians then took over from Belshazzar that night. He only had a 2-year reign. Now, there are a lot of lessons in this chapter we could look at. I debated which way to go, like how to not lose a kingdom. The principles are in here. But what I want to focus on is why they called Daniel for the crisis. When they didn't know what to do, they didn't know where to turn. There are a lot of crises in the world. We need Daniels today. We need women and men who can go, this is what this means. This is what this means. We see this out here. This is what this means. And as I said, Daniel had developed this reputation as being the go-to guy because he was the wisest man in the empire. In fact, let's go back and let me show you what the queen and the king said about this guy here on the screen. The queen said this, "This man Daniel has a sharp mind, and he's filled with knowledge and understanding, and he can interpret dreams, he can explain the meaning of mysteries, he can solve difficult problems, so call for Daniel, and he'll tell you what it means." And so they put out the call, SOS, bring Daniel in. And when he gets into the banquet hall, this is what the king said, the next verse. "I have heard, Daniel, that the Spirit of God is in you, that you possess brilliant knowledge and extraordinary wisdom." Isn't that an incredible reputation? I mean, think about that. Note those three things. He says, you got God's Spirit in you, you're brilliant in your knowledge, and you're extraordinary in your wisdom. Wouldn't you like to have people say that about you? Yeah. Well, if you would, you picked a good weekend to come to church, because that's what we're going to look at. How do you become wise like Daniel? God used this guy, Daniel, because he was wise. But wisdom is a choice, and you can choose to become wise through learning and through study and dedication and prayer. And the Bible's got a lot to say about wisdom and learning. We could spend an entire 6 months on this one. But let me just show you one verse. Here's a verse up here on the screen. Proverbs chapter 4, which is, by the way, the book of wisdom in the Bible, says this, verse 13. Always remember what you have learned. Your education is your life, so guard it well. Your education is your life, so guard it well. You know, I'm smiling at the timing of this passage because actually this message I was scheduled to preach last week. But we had a little last-minute change-up. I had to go to San Francisco, and so now I get to share it the weekend that we're honoring teachers and talk about why learning is important and why education is important and why you are in a continual education mode. Let's look at what God says are the five ways to become wise in life. Everybody, there's benefits to love, there's benefits to wisdom, and when you do the things God says to do, you're going to just become a wiser person. All right, let's look at them. The first thing the Bible says is this: make a commitment to never stop learning. Make a commitment to never stop learning. Now, it all starts with a choice. And nobody can decide for you. You got to make this choice yourself. You have to realize how important learning is for the rest of your life. Proverbs 23, verse 12 in the Bible says this: commit yourself, that's making a commitment, commit yourself to instruction and tune in your ears to hear the words of knowledge. Now, I made this commitment when I was 15 years old. And I just began saying, I'm going to learn as much as I can. And for many, many years, I read at least a book a day. And you say, well, how'd you do that? Little tiny books, lots of big pictures. I have over 35,000 volumes in my library now. I actually started collecting my library when I was 14, and I because they open the door to every area of science and literature and history and all of those kind of things. Now, your education, you know this, does not stop when you graduate. I've actually heard people say, well, I'm glad I finished my education, so now I can start my career. I want to go, buddy, you're never going to finish your education. Tell that one to God, and he'll laugh at you. The rest of your life, you're going to be in education mode. There are a lot of things God wants to teach you that you have not learned yet. Learning is not a stage of life. Learning is your life. Learning is your lifestyle. And God wants you to learn something every day. And so he says, commit yourself to instruction. Commit yourself. Make a commitment to never stop learning. What new skill are you working on right now that you didn't have last year? What new skill next year are you going to work on that you don't have today? Are you going to be any different? You're going to be better. You're going to be any stronger. You're going to know more. You're going to be wiser. You make the commitment because you're never finished with your education. And lifelong learning is actually the key to being a leader. All leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning, you stop leading. You can never take a person any farther than you are yourself. And so, for instance, in a church, a growing church requires a growing pastor. In business, a growing business requires a growing businessman. In a classroom, it requires a growing teacher. In any area of life, all leaders are learners. If you're not learning, you're not a leader, because you've got to keep moving further and further ahead. As I said, it's not a stage. Now, why should you never stop learning? Because it's in your best interest. I could give you 40, 50 things that the Bible says learning does in your life. Let me just mention a couple. It brings success, and it brings profit. Success and profit. You want those in your life? Then you need to be a continuous learning person. The more you learn, the more you earn, the more you grow, the more you become effective in life. Let me show you a couple of verses. One of them is Ecclesiastes 10:10. This is one of my life verses. I memorized it early in life, and it says this: if an axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed. But skill will bring success. Now, it says if you got an axe and you're chopping wood, if the blade is dull, obviously, it takes a lot more energy to chop the wood. If your axe is sharp, then it doesn't take as much effort. He's simply saying here, work smarter, not harder. Work smarter, not harder. You're never wasting your time when you're sharpening your axe. Right now, when you come to church, you're sharpening your axe. You're spiritually sharpening your axe to be more effective in the world. When you take a seminar, when you read a book, you're sharpening your axe. And the Bible says that skill will bring success. Notice it didn't say desire. Okay, it says skill will bring success.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down, and also keep them deep within your heart." But how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways, and here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, "I can't do that." Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart." To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's Word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, "I can't memorize anything." Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's Word, listen to God's Word, and live God's Word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own vegan leather Verses of Hope scripture box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.